From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Patrick O'Hara, or Gup, is back. Yes, the award-winning novel, The Gunkle, is back as we check in with Patrick and his niece and nephew, Maisie and Grace. Now, this is 5 years after they spent their summer with their gay Uncle Patrick, or Gup, after their mom passed away. Now, this time, the kids need their uncle's help as their dad, Patrick's brother, is getting ready to get remarried. Well, I am thrilled to have author Stephen Rowley join us today to talk more about this latest novel, Gunkle Abroad. Stephen, I am just really just thrilled to be talking with you again. So thank you for taking time.
Well, thank you so much. It's a joy to be back with you.
Okay, so when you were writing The Gunkle, were you even thinking that there'd be a sequel to this?
Absolutely not. I thought the story was complete. I thought I wrote the end, and I was like, well, that's that. It's interesting looking back now. The one thing that an author has absolutely no control over is the state of the world when their book is released. And, you know, mm-hmm. the original came out in May of 2021 at a time when we were emerging from a dark year. Vaccines were available for the first time. We were kind of coming out of a year of isolation. And to the mm-hmm. extent that the original book is about a character who's sort of self-isolating, living a reclusive life in the desert when he takes in his niece and nephew for the summer, and it leads to a season of healing for all three. I think there was something magical about the combination of book and moment, and I was surprised at how it was really embraced by readers in a way that I was very touched. I think a sequel came to mind. I think a lot of readers assume that I missed Patrick, that he's a fun character to write. Mm-hmm. And he is. But my mind kept turning back to the children. In the first book, they were 6 and 9. And at the end of that book, they went home with their father to a house where their mother no longer was. And in many ways, their grief journey was just beginning when that book ended. And I really felt a need to check in on the kids. Are the kids okay?
I love that. Are the kids okay? Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that the reason why I wanted to ask about the sequel as well, because in the book, in this new book, there's this scene where Patrick is bemoaning sequels to his agent, right? Mm-hmm. That it's like, you never do a sequel. So I kind of loved that tongue in cheek, really, in the sense of, well, here you are, we're reading a sequel, yet this character is saying, oh, you know, sequels are terrible.
Is adamantly against sequels. Yeah, I was tempting fate there a little bit. I was like, oh no, are critics going to throw these words back in my face? But yeah, I thought I would have a little fun with the idea. Listen, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think I found the right story. My biggest fear was interfering with anyone's goodwill for these characters and for the mm-hmm. original. And so if I didn't find the right entry point and you know, because you know the idea of a sequel or having characters you know, in some ways they're tools. It's to use if you have something to say. And I really mm-hmm. had to wait and think, what is it that I wanted to say with a new book before committing to undertaking it.
Mm-hmm. So before we get to Maisie and Grant, I want to talk a little bit about Patrick, because mm-hmm. We have to fast forward 5 years. And I mean, a lot has really happened in Patrick's life in those 5 years. I mean, he's left Palm Springs. He's moved to New York to be closer to the kids, but his career has reblossomed. And, mm-hmm. and there, you know, he's become kind of a celebrity, right? How important was it to also have Patrick kind of go on this journey and to really, you know, embrace this new part of his own life and not stay in Palm Springs?
Yeah, one of the great joys of writing these books is sort of mirroring Patrick's progress with the kids, right? In the first mm-hmm. one, he was a character who was sort of hardened by his own grief. And it wasn't until helping the kids navigate theirs that led him sort of back to the light in a way. And here, too, you know, there's a real, exploration of the difference between, moving forward Which is a good thing. And I think, and moving on, which the characters are sort of reticent to do. And so it is, I think, you know, important for Patrick to wrestle with some of these same issues as he's trying to be a role model for the kids.
Well, in particular, it seems like Patrick's almost kind of going through a midlife, and it has to do around his age and being ready to turn 50, even though apparently no one knows except for the people closest to him he's turning 50 because his original agent made him change his age.
Shaved a year off his age, yeah.
but he's broken up with Emery, which I was so sad about. And I mean, no spoilers, but I mean, he seems to really be struggling with, well, I'm so much older. I'm so old. And I have to say, I'm about the same age as Patrick. And I don't feel old like that. I'm just always surprised that I'm as old as I am.
I would say, you know, I just had a birthday last week. And since the first book came out too, you know, I've turned 50 as well and several years beyond that now. But, you know, it's something that gay men wrestle with in a very specific way. And one is I really do mourn the generation just above mine. And so many of those voices were tragically silenced, from AIDS. And so we don't have sort of the role models for aging gracefully, or certainly we were robbed of as many as we should have.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, for Patrick, I think that's something he really wrestles with. Like, I think a lot of gay men my age never expected to live this long. And so now that we're here, you know, what is the back half of our lives going to look like? And it was interesting to explore that through the character of Patrick.
You know, the other thing that struck me is a conversation that Patrick and Clara had. Now, Clara is Patrick's older sister. And she kind of calls him out as a misogynist. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because as I'm reading that scene, I was like, oh, that's very interesting, because he's talking about, you know, the dynamics of gay men and straight women, but then gay men and lesbian women. And I have just never really thought of that. And I just found that to be such an interesting part of the book.
Yeah, well, you know, not to give too much away, but in this book, Patrick has a nemesis.
Yes, he does.
Of the Gunkle is now faced with the children having a lant or a future lesbian aunt, the sister of their father's fiance, of their stepmother to be. So, there's some natural friction there between Patrick and this new character. You know, the kids are sort of inured to his charms in a certain way, having been around him for the past 5 years, but they're quite taken with this new figure in their lives, and it ruffles Patrick's feathers, you know, to be sure. So that was interesting to explore the differences in those relationships. Listen, you know, there is a natural, I think, allyship between gay men and straight women. Certainly there's a lot of reverence and celebration of women in queer culture, but there's also can be a casual misogyny or dismissiveness sometimes of women too, that it just, you know, it's like, these are just sort of interesting things to explore in the context of a novel, you know, even one that's ostensibly a comedy.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Maisie and Grant, because as it was, not only has it been, you know, 5 years from them when the book started, when the first novel came out, as you said, they were 9 and 6, they're 11 and 14 now. I mean, and Grant is just still as cute as can be. I love the scene where he's under the blanket on the lounge chair when they're at the hotel in Italy. And I have to say, and here's why, Stephen, it is because my youngest, who is 12, does the exact same thing whenever we're on vacation. It's the blanket over the head so we can watch his phone. And I love that. But then you have Maisie, who's 14, and man, she is all up in her teenage angst. And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I love the kids from the original, but they were, you know, at that age, you know, at a younger age, they were sort of a tight twosome. It was easy to think of them as the kids, as a single entity. But here, you know, 5 years on, I really had to imagine how they would grow, how they would each come into their own personalities a little bit more, what they would be like 5 years on, not only because they're older, not only because they've had Patrick's influence in their life for the past 5 years, but also how his grief affected how they each grew, you know. And I think for Maisie, the older child, you know, she grew up really fast, you know, wanting to protect her brother and whatnot. And Grant, I think it's sort of a delayed adolescence almost, that grief has kept him sort of stunted a little bit in his emotional growth. So that was something that, you know, I put a lot of thought into, you know, who these characters are. And they each have their own agenda now a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not a monolithic, sort of character anymore. They each have their own personalities and desires.
And I love what a reader Maisie is. But at the same time, when Patrick is taking the books out of her hands and he's like, you know, look around, like stop reading so much. And so where did that come from? Because
please, everyone buy a copy of the book. Far be it for me to tell people they read too much.
Not to read. Yeah.
However, yeah, maybe put it down, you know, if you're walking around the streets of Bellagio or whatnot. If you're in a great European destination, there's a time for reading, and maybe that's on the beach. But if you're exploring the cities and towns, then be on the lookout for unique experiences you can only have there.
Exactly. So, you know, in the first novel, I think Patrick did such a good job of kind of helping the children with their grief, but also, I mean, really his own grief, mm-hmm. from what had happened to him. And now here we are, and he's trying to really, I think, teach them about love and not just romantic love, but love in general. And now he's got the, you know, he talks to them about their love languages and you know, was that important to you to kind of find that, common theme, right? Because their dad is set to get remarried. Maisie is adamantly opposed to this and mm-hmm. really wants Uncle Patrick to you know, she keeps asking him, have you talked to my dad?
Yeah, and to put a stop to this sham of a wedding. Yeah.
Right. All of these shenanigans, like, you know, he's lost his mind, yeah. basically. So where did that idea come from, really, about this idea of, okay, I'm going to take them, you know, abroad for a couple of weeks and really talk to them or show them about love.
Yeah, well, anyone who reads these books, I think, will not be surprised to know that I was greatly inspired by the Auntie Mame novels from the 1950s, the Patrick Dennis novels. The sequel mm-hmm. to Auntie Mame was a book called Around the World with Auntie Mame. And so I knew if I ever revisited these characters, you know, as a sort of hat tip to that, I would be taking them overseas. Beyond that, yeah, you're right. The first book was a real sort of exploration of grief and grieving. And this book, there's still, you know, grief is not something that's necessarily temporary condition. You know, it seeps mm-hmm. into the fabric of who we are. But I really wanted Patrick this time to teach the children about love, not just, as you say, not just why someone would want to get remarried, but why it's worth, the trouble sometimes. And then couple that with the idea that with time and with some healing, that there is room for joy in our lives again after significant loss. And that was sort of really important, I think, to explore. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I love, so the book is set, so, you know, in Europe. I don't want to give too much away, but there is a scene where he takes them to Austria because mm-hmm. Patrick and their mom, Sarah, were very good friends and went to college together. And they, you know, loved the sound of music. And so I have to tell you, that was one of our most favorite movies growing up in my house. In fact, my siblings and I would reenact all of the scenes all of the time. So every single reference you made in the book, I knew exactly what you were talking about. And, you know, but again, it's, I felt like I was there, right? Because it's, The Sound of Music is such an iconic movie. And then you take them to these places. So as you were creating the novel, I mean, how does that play into you knowing where to place the characters and then have these references to these other just really iconic cultural moments?
Yeah, well, pop cultural references, cultural moments, those are, you know, such a big part of the first book as well. And I wanted to mm-hmm. sort of continue that. I mean, I think it's a, you know, a big part of sort of queer language as a way is pop cultural references. You know, there's a great passion for pop culture and camp and you mm-hmm. know, whatnot. So I'm going to fess up here. Normally, I try not to write about places I haven't been. And okay. So a lot of the destinations in this on this sort of journey are places that I have traveled to personally. I think you can tell sometimes when something is just laden with research or when it has a real sort of lived in feel. There are things you can't get from research, you know, the smells of a certain place, the sounds, you know, those are not things you get from reading about a place on Wikipedia. That said, I have not personally been to Austria. That's the one location that I did have to cop to research to
do.
But I knew it would also be so much fun and a real sort of, you know, showstopper of a chapter if I could do it correctly. And I think my reverence for the movie and for the country hopefully come through.
Well, I would have never known. I mean, honestly, there was a part where you were talking about the gazebo from The Sound of Music and how it's been moved. And I have to tell you, I'm not even joking, Stephen. My first thought was like, oh, he's actually been there. So see,
I wish one day I will make it. I swear. But yeah, that is, you know, I carefully, as much as I could, following people's YouTube videos or the official tour website or whatever I had to do to make it seem like I had been on that tour as recreated as closely as I possibly could from my desk in my office.
I love it. I have to tell you, The Gunkel is truly one of my all-time favorite books, and I would put The Gunkel Abroad right up there with it. And I have to tell you, I sometimes think about, okay, what do I love about this book? And I love the character so much. But I think what it is you made us fall in love, not just with Patrick, but with Maisie and Grant. I mean, and I feel this, you know, almost like parental concern about these made-up characters. And I mean, I think the question is what you said in the beginning, are the kids okay? And I don't want you to give, you know, anything away, but it's, Are they moving forward, right? Because I think you said it so beautifully. Yeah. Like, I don't think grief ever goes away. I think it changes, and I think that it ebbs and it flows. But it's, can you get to that next place in your life while you continue to always hold on to that grief in whichever form it might be at that particular moment?
Yeah, I'm, you know, for these kids, you know, they're survivors, but, you know, sort of more than that, hopefully, that I really do think that they are okay. And you're right, it's a way to sort of find a way to live and to celebrate and to laugh and all these things that, you know, that life should be filled with, and honor the ones that we've lost and honor that grief as well, and not sort of, you know, I think that's a mistake that Patrick had made in the first book, right? I think he had he'd shoved that grief away, and it's different. I think, you know, what he really wanted to do was show that there was a different way forward, you know, for the kids. And that meant processing his own grief and showing them that you know, the best way forward is through. And hopefully that's what the kids have been able to do with his, you know, with the love of their father, and also under the guidance of their somewhat wacky uncle.
How much is Patrick like you? I mean, I know sometimes, you know, you can create a character that's completely opposite of you, but are there parts of Patrick that are close to you?
Oh, sure. I think our senses of humor are very similar. Our, you know, his love of pop culture is my love of pop culture. His, you know, politics, his worldview, his empathy, I think, are all things that I share, you know, as sort of having lived experience as an out gay man. And so, I think Patrick and I are very close. Now, is Patrick sometimes to the extremes of my personality? Sure. Is he a heightened version of me? Maybe. Yeah. You know, he certainly has more money than I do. Television movie pays better than books. But it's sort of fun to play with, like, oh, who would I be if I didn't, you know, if I had slightly less of a filter, perhaps.
Right.
And really wanted to say the things that I wanted to. And that's fun. It's fun having a character like that who's close enough, but also gets to do some things that maybe you wouldn't necessarily get away with.
Well, I just want to thank you for bringing these characters back, that we get to go spend time with them again and in such a beautiful setting as well. I mean, it has been a joy to be reading this book. So thank you for creating it and taking time to talk with us.
Oh, it is a joy. I hope it just feels like summer, this book. And if anyone has a trip or time on a beach planned, boy, do I have the book for you.
Oh my goodness. I would say Get the Gunkle and Get the Gunkle Abroad for any trip you're taking.
There you go. 100%. You have your flight there covered and your flight home.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephen, so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.